Does anybody have, maybe you, any DVDs of mine? You've got one. Make sure and get that one back. That one is irreplaceable. Do you have any? Does anybody else have three DVDs of mine that are of biblical earth science? Okay, I'm missing disc one, two, and four. Okay. All right. Well, if you could check, that'd be great. Otherwise, I'm going to have Dennis bring them up when he comes up this weekend. And yeah, Dennis and Diana, I think, are going to be here on Sunday. Also, I wanted to mention that Sunday is daylight saving time. Spring forward, so we'll finally not be so late in the evening all the time.
Is
All
that
right.
Keith's series?
Yeah.
Yeah, I have it.
Well, somehow I've just got one.
That's not thought of his trial, the trial.
Yeah.
Because we had them here. We had your
Yeah,
series.
you had them here and you went over them
Yeah.
when we had the sabbatical. What? You've got them?
You said you. She
You never
said
asked
we.
me.
We might have.
I never asked you?
Oh,
okay. This day just keeps on getting interesting.
Sounds like me and Cecil.
Okay. All right. Well, if there's nothing else, let's get ourselves underway. And now, please, once again, Romans chapter 13. Romans chapter 13. Since we are pressed for time a little bit here this evening, well, no, let's. It's going to be important. Let's get verse 11 and once again down to the end of the chapter. I know you know it by heart, but let's look at it once again to warm our thinking up. And that knowing the time, that now it is high time to awake out of sleep, for now is our salvation nearer than when we believed. The night is far spent, the day is at hand. Let us therefore cast off the works of darkness and let us put on the armor of light. And tonight we're going to begin looking at verse 13. Let us walk honestly as in the day, not in rioting and drunkenness, not in chambering and wantonness, not in strife and envying, but put ye on the Lord Jesus Christ and make not provision for the flesh to fulfill the lusts thereof. I'd like to ask Michael, would you lead us in prayer tonight, please? All right, tonight we're going to continue dealing with this phrase that we began on Sunday, picking up where we left off when we started dealing with this final aspect of our godly living, where we're going to be walking honestly as in the day. In our last lesson, we looked over these things, and I'm not going to do too much in way of a review because not only of time constraints, but because we're going to have to look back at some things here coming up in this particular phrase. But we dealt with the issue of let us walk, and we're going to begin looking at this particular issue tonight of let us walk honestly as in the day. And I'm really excited to get to this particular portion because it really is going to once again provide us with some better clarity and understanding of some things that we talk about oftentimes, but we don't give real definition to it and really describe it in a way that you can kind of put your finger on it and say, that's what it is. And a couple of those issues are going to really be clearly focused for us in this final third feature of our godly living, which is walking honestly as in the day. And one of those things is going to be, because of what we've looked at that word walk, it's going to have to do with the kind of impact that we make. We talk about impact a lot, and we have in the past, but we've got to get a better understanding of what kind of an impact are you talking about? What exactly is this impact? Because this is going to be with us from now on. And you may have some idea of it, and maybe it's not as foggy as I think it may be in your mind, but we're going to try to make it very clear, at least in this particular area, the kind of impact that we're designed to have, and along with that, the kind of operation of our Heavenly Father that we can put our finger on and say, that is an operation of God. And that's one of the things that I get the privilege of doing now, not only by the way I conduct and live my sonship life, but also in the way in which I'm going to labor with my Father and the work that we're going to be doing together as we finish out the entire chapter of chapter 13. So with that little bit to maybe warm our thinking up, we begin tonight looking at this issue of let us walk honestly as in the day. You'll notice, by the way, in verse 13, you've got two phrases. Let us walk honestly. Then you've got this comma, as in the day, comma. And so there's, when he shifts gears here into not in rioting, drunkenness, and so forth and so on, it's almost like there's two steps to this phrase here. Let us walk honestly. How? As in the day. And then not in the rioting and drunkenness and so forth and so on. So I see that as kind of two steps to this particular kind of godly conduct and behavior. Let us walk honestly. First of all, the issue of honest or honestly. Of course, if you've got honestly, the L-Y ending there, the suffix is just a contraction of our English word like, honest like, honestly. We've encountered this term once before. If you cast your eyes back up into chapter 12 and verse 17, when we began our instruction of godly justice, the first thing we dealt with was recompense to no man evil for evil, provide things honest in the sight of all men. And that's the first time that we've encountered that expression, provide things honest. So what is it talking about when it's talking about honest and let us walk honestly? Any ideas right off the bat? Say, that's what you're here for. Okay, that's good to get the ball rolling, but that is not the bullseye. You're not near the 10 ring quite yet. But that's good. That gets our thinking corralled at least a little bit of what it means to walk honestly. And while it's true that honest, anytime you're talking about somebody honest, I mean, you hear this a lot, especially during the time in which we're living right now with an election coming up, all of the candidates are talking about honesty, which is really interesting to hear a politician talk about honesty. But without getting off track into all of that, usually you have the general meaning of honest or honesty is what is upright, what is true, what is fair, what is could be righteous in certain contexts. But commonly, it's what is not a sham, it's not a fraud. And in fact, honesty also carries the meaning of what is suitable or what is true. And that's something we gathered from the first time that we used that or came across that expression. And we talked about, as Katie has said there, true to who you are in Christ. Let us walk honestly. It's one of these expressions, in fact, this entire thing, and as it's true for so many passages, but especially this word honestly, is so bound to the context for us to be able to understand exactly what it's driving at. Otherwise, what you're going to wind up with, if you're not careful with the context here, you're going to have, let us walk honestly as in the day, which is like I said on Sunday, it's just like so many commentators deal with this, having no idea of really what's going on. They just say, well, you just want to walk true as a Christian in the light of all men, you know, in the sight of all men, and in open daylight, and, you know, they go off into all kinds of different weird things. But there's something God's driving at here that is almost working toward the pinnacle of what your godly living is now going to consist of. And this is what we in this assembly, this is what you and I are going to be doing in our conduct, our behavior, our godly labor with our Father, that's going to open up just a vast array of operations and aspects of His business that's going to lead us, and we need to start looking toward level two of our sonship education. And seeing how that all these things that we're doing here are going to be built upon. Nothing that He's teaching us is just for now and we just do it now and has no application or no real value later on. This is all groundwork for what is going to be built upon in our edification in level two. And so it's really an exciting moment, and I hope it will be in the next couple of Bible classes, especially tonight and especially on Sunday, as we begin to see what this operation is. And instead of just talking about, well, we have certain operations, we can actually define them and say, this is one. And what a grand privilege it is to operate in it. So while it's true that walking honestly can be talked about as walking, conducting yourself, behaving yourself, making progress in your sonship life, successfully doing something, that's what walking does, and making this impact, taking this with you wherever you go, the truth, the reality of who you really are as a son in Christ, that's true, but it's not. You've got to say it better than that. This is this the same context as chapter 12 and verse 17? No. So it can't just, you can't just go back and rely on that meaning and say that's good enough. It's not good enough. And the general basic idea of walking honestly really is the issue of conducting and behaving yourself as to what is suitable, what is consistent, what is true to who you are as a son in Christ, especially as a member of the new creature, the church, the body of Christ, in this dispensation of grace in which you live. But that's not good enough for this context, because the context weighs heavily upon, the context actually provides for exactitude. For you to be able to say, when you read, let us walk honestly, you ought to be able to put... That almost calls and demands, puts a demand upon you, calls upon you to add up some facts and put some things together so that you really understand what it means to walk honestly as in the day. And this is the most powerful, if my understanding is correct, these things, you know, these things as all lists or all things in God's Word where He puts this first, then this. These two previous things we had, casting off the works of darkness, putting on the armor of light, now finds its fullness for what we're dealing with here in this expression, let us walk honestly as in the day. So we're going to have to bring all of that with us when we think about this context of what it means to walk honestly, and we can have exactness and fine precision of what it means to walk honestly in this particular context. And you've got to be more precise here. You've got to be more exact than merely saying that this means to walk consistent and true to who you really are as a son in Christ. Because this is not... That's kind of a rehash of everything we've had before, but this isn't rehashing anything. This isn't a rehash, this isn't a restatement or a repetition of our sanctified position in Christ from Romans chapter 6, verse 1 through 8, 39. This, as I've said many times, is an advance upon what we've learned so far with some advanced information we've been given. And so this issue of walking honestly, If you're gonna really get to the center, the core of what all of this is about, you're going to have to look at the close context, the immediate context of the godly thinking in verses 11 and 12a. In fact, we probably ought to go to put those up there. We can put that division that we made up there. That's the context that's going to govern what it means for us to walk honestly as in the day. Because this is, like I say, this is an advance of what we've been given. You've just been given some advanced information. It hasn't been a lot as far as on the page, measuring it in your Bible, but you've been given some advanced information, and your father is giving you some things concerning how you as a son are going to now make some godly judgments. He's given you the instruction of judgment. And by giving you that instruction, he doesn't have to give you a lot of information, but he does have to give you some. Remember all the way back when we talked about that catalyst issue? How that this information works as a catalyst with everything else you've learned, so that what comes out of that reaction, to put it in a chemical way, is the capacity and ability and the power now to make godly judgments. And you've been given some information with that regarding the use of time, your personal use of time, and especially the dispensational timing of this dispensation of grace. And so therefore the issue of you walking honestly or true to who you really are as a son in Christ is specifically, that little phrase, let us walk honestly, is specifically driving at that. It's driving at that godly thinking that produced the desire of living in such a way as casting off works of darkness and putting on the armor of light, going into battle. And now, in view of that, we're going to walk honestly as in the day. We're going to walk true. We're going to walk consistent with not just who we are in Christ, not just being sons in general, but walking true to who you are specifically regarding the impact, the issue of making an impact wherever you go, because you're walking, that's true to the immediate information you've received. That's how this works. It's true to the immediate information you've received, and that is effectually working within you now. Some things have now been recently written upon the fleshy tables of your heart from Romans 13, verses 11 and 12a. That godly thinking should now be part of the pages of your soul. Your inner man now should have written upon it. It's like I said, and it's not just, listen, it's not just memorization of Scripture. You know that. That's not what the getting this written is about. The fact of the matter is, if the desire, the zeal, and the enthusiasm isn't there to do the godly conduct and behavior, and to enter into laboring with your Heavenly Father, that's how you know that hasn't been written on your heart. But one of the things that should loom in your mind every single day of your life, every time you wake up, every day you live, are those two major, major sayings that we have. The one that dealt with how we're going to make judgments with all men in general, which has to do with godly love and charity. That saying, love thy neighbor as thyself. And that one, the night is far spent, the day is at hand. That's the environment you live in. Remember, let's go to this chart once again. One of the things that was, you know, this godly thinking was designed to challenge old thinking and corrupt thinking and erroneous thinking, and to dislodge that and to discharge that and to destroy that and to replace that with the godly thinking. One of the things that really was a major turn of events for me was to understand that ever since that fourth installment of the fifth course of punishment began, my Heavenly Father's mind is occupied with ending the worlds. That's what He's doing. In fact, when Jesus was on this earth, He talked about the end of the world, but He had it singular. When Paul talks about it, he gets that little twist to it, the ends plural, because he's got in view the world of that's now in place in the heavenly realm, which is in vanity and bondage, and the one that's on this earth. And that we live in an environment now in which the thing that is occupying my Heavenly Father's mind and His Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, is ending this whole thing. He's been waiting for a long time to get back, all the way back here to the second Sabbath after the first. It's like this whole thing is a gigantic parenthesis. Well, when we get all this done, I'll get back to working with the creation like I ever wanted to. Now, what I'm after in all of that is there's some real powerful things that have been at work in our mind that makes it so that the desire, that the way to implement that and deploy that thinking and put it into practice is right on the page right there. It's to walk honestly now as in the day. And this is precipitated upon all of this advanced information that has now been written upon our heart, or should be, so that that information, and I mean, and really, that's the when I say that information, I'm talking about that information that's sitting up there in verse 11 and 12a, and especially as it culminates in verse 12a, that now demands that you implement the virtues and the principles that are operating within your mind, within your human spirit, and they're supposed to be some, folks. We went over them. Wherever you go, those virtues and those principles should be operational. Whatever you do, wherever you walk, and wherever you take yourself in this life, in every detail of your life. And by the way, I'm not talking about that this is that, you know, you go into a room and all automatically you become Debbie Downer or something like that. But that you're consciously aware of what time it is, of how my Father views what's going on today. There's a lot of people, even a lot who call themselves Christians, they do not see things the way God sees them. If you think they do, just listen to some of them talk about how they're going to vote. As if your idea of who you vote for is going to stop this dog returning to its vomit. It's not. Every Gentile dog nation is going to return to its vomit, including the United States. But you hear people, they get this idea that we're just going to turn things around. Well, God still is, His mind is still to end this thing, not to keep it going. And the only thing that does keep it going is His long suffering. And so, and by the way, every time you're confronted with the issue of conducting and behaving yourself or walking honestly, every time you get that expression, let us walk honestly. One of the great tools that I've learned over the years is when you read God's Word and you really sit and meditate upon it, one of the things I'm always asking myself is that, okay, God is saying something very simply, but what does it imply? Yep, it sure does. It implies that, and by that, every time you confront that expression of walking honestly or conducting yourself, providing things honest, as he said before, and this expression and something like it will come up later on. But what I'm after is every time you find that and you're confronted with that issue of how you're walking and walking honestly, it's set within a context where something in that context will tell you there is a very real and very present danger and very powerful influence for you to not behave and not walk true to who you really are in Christ as in that immediate context. And that's exactly what we've learned here. Because of that phrase, the night is far spent, the day is at hand, we're living in a time period, a time frame where the night is now far spent. And with that night in its far spent status, and you've got the night being far spent, and those works of darkness being maintained, you are in an environment where great and huge influences abound that could make it so that you would not walk honestly. Otherwise, it wouldn't be put this way. It's almost put it in the form of a, not almost, it is, it's in the form of a of an exhortation. Now that you're casting off the works of darkness and putting on the armor of light, now walk honestly. You're in an environment where there is great, powerful influence for you to not do that, to not walk true to who you are as a son. You've got the evil men. You've got the strange woman. And we've just profiled them. We've come to learn some things about the satanic policy of evil rather than just talking about it and saying, well, there is this policy of evil, but I really can't say much more about it than that. Now, we can say a lot more about it than that now. We know what he's after. We know when it comes to those works of darkness, we know what he's after in those things. We have some insight as to what his, how he organized things and how he is almost ripped off and counterfeited sonship education in order to educate and train his own sons after his own thinking and his own wicked and evilness and policy of evil. We have some understanding. It's not a lot, but we've got a lot more than we had in understanding what's going on here. So there is an environment where we certainly are in a precarious position where influences abound for us not to do this. And in the godly thinking portion, we've encountered some very powerful sayings, as I said. When we were in that godly thinking portion, let's put that back up. When we were up here, and I'm not going to put these on the board, but when we were in this section right here, we encountered some very powerful sayings, out of which came some very powerful main operating principles. Take that first one. And that knowing the time, that now it is high time to awake out of sleep. Remember that one? Is he chastening the Romans? No. Are they doing anything wrong? No. So what does he mean to wake out of sleep? Well, in a sense, they were doing what needed to be done. Otherwise, wouldn't he be chastening them if he came along and said, you're not doing what needs to be done?
They'll have more urgency.
Okay. Yeah. What? Yeah, it's actually a way in which he's bidding his son to now begin to spend more time with me in my business. You've been doing everything right, but all I've needed you for the last several months is just to come in for an hour and sweep the shop up. Well, you've demonstrated, after I've taught you some things about some of the equipment and everything around here, that you can do more than just sweep a floor. But when you're going to do more than just sweep a floor, you're going to have to spend more time with me, the Father. You're going to have to spend more time in the work. And he looks at everything else outside of the work as just sleep time. And so therefore, that's the way that expression is being used. It's high time to wake out of sleep. And some of the operating principles that we learn from that, it's not just coming along, that's not just coming along and doing what the world does. I mean, anybody in this world can come along and say, you know, time is a really precious commodity. No kidding. And that's nothing new. The unbeliever knows that. But this is set within the framework of now doing something that you should, all you should have gotten was a whiff of that phrase, and you're like a dog after bacon. This is what I want. I've been waiting for this. I'm tired of sweeping this floor. I couldn't wait for my father to say, let's spend some more time together. Let's now roll our sleeves up and go to work together on something that's really critical to my business. And the son wants to do that, and he wants to spend more time. And therefore, the principle of don't waste time can be used in any context, and anybody would say, well, that's a good idea. But this is within the framework of sonship education and edification with godly goals, aims, and objectives that we can now reach because we've got some demonstrated ability from the wisdom and from the justice and from the godly love and charity and discretion and understanding. But we're going to have to find more time. Remember when we talked about that? When you get into godly judgments, I'm telling you this from experience, and I don't have a whole lot more than you do, but I've got a little bit more than you do. There are certain judgments you're going to have to make that are going to demand lots of time. When you go back to the Proverbs and you see what the matching exhortations when it's talking about pondering these things, there's certain judgments and paths you're going to take that are going to have to be completely built within your mind. And when I say built, I mean you've never been down this path before. And it's not just simply something I'm going to do in an afternoon, but this is going to alter the course of my life. And as it does, I'm going to have to make some preparations and some plans. I'm going to have to start putting some things out of my life. I'm going to have to, and I can't get into any details because I have to be living your life. But that's what these kinds of judgments demand. And sometimes they take weeks, and sometimes they take months to ponder and think through and spend time with your Heavenly Father discussing these things with real sonship prayer and communion and fellowship and searching of your heart. That's the nature of judgments, making godly judgments. And you're going to have to find more time, and it should be a joy to be able to say, well, I used to do that, but that's out for this other thing. Usually, the stuff like this is taught, and Christians are going, oh, darn it. If that's the case, it's like old Harley Melton used to say, just get a cake of soap and hit the showers, because you're finished already. You should enthusiastically embrace these things. Find more time. Make the best use of the time that you've got. Why? For now is our salvation nearer than when we believed. Is that talking about our salvation from the debt and penalty of our sins? No, what kind of salvation is it talking about? What? Yeah, we're saved from the wrath of God. And that starts some wheels turning. That starts generating some thinking in your mind where God wants to position your mind exactly where He wants it so He can give you the next saying. But first of all, He's got to start getting your mind in the position He wants. And you're starting now to think about the dispensation of grace, of the grace of God in which you live. And one of the main principles that came out of that is, you know, we understand and appreciate that we're not going to ever be out there, literally out there, undergoing and suffering through the day of the Lord's wrath. We were told back in Romans chapter 5 that we were going to be saved from that. That's when we looked at some general things about the rapture. And how that the things that we learned back in Romans 9, 10, and 11, when God reconciled the world, He's going to put it back. He can put that wild olive tree of Gentiles in a favored special status with Him right now, but He can easily put it right back. And we were taught back in Romans 9, 10, and 11 that we should fear, because He could do that at any time, and He can easily do it. It's no big trick. I don't mean that it's a trick, but it's not a difficult thing for this dispensation to come to an end and for the world to now undergo the wrath of God. Well, you're not. The day your salvation is nearer than when you believe, being saved from that day of wrath. That gets your mind occupied with some things. You could die at any moment. You could. The dispensation of grace could come to end at any moment. All of these things, I'm not going to go back and reteach you all of this, We spent time on every one of these principles. I'm just mentioning them to you because this is supposed to be part of the fabric of your mind when it comes to walking honestly as in the day. These all have a bearing upon it. Just as I said before, Paul said, be not high-minded, but fear. Interesting. What is it that the strange woman's going to go right after, first and foremost? That very issue, how you think about yourself. You're told back in Romans 9:10, be not high-minded, but fear. You were taught in Romans 12, not to think of yourself more highly as you ought to think. And the very first thing she's going to do is go right after that issue of your love of self with flattering words. That's what flattering words do. Anyway, one other thing we learned about that little expression, now is our salvation nearer than when we believed, was this fantastic principle of how we are, there is a whole aspect of the life of Jesus Christ, a path of life that he hasn't even begun walking yet. And one of the things we should be doing with the time we have is preparing ourselves through the effectual working of his word and through getting this curriculum down for the time in which we get to do that with him and participate in the function of his life, that he's going to walk that path out there as he has his day of wrath here on earth, but we're going to be able to participate in some things in the heavenly places at that time. And that took us to that expression that we so well know, the night is far spent, the day is at hand. And once he got us thinking about this dispensation of grace, he then wants us to think about the timing of it. The night being far spent, and that's when God interrupted the program. He didn't bring the dispensation of grace in. It's part of the package of him ending the world. And the night and the day are expressions outside of the dispensation of grace. When I say that, the night is still being maintained, but its far spent status was actually indicative and came to a point before the dispensation of grace began. The day will be actually here when the dispensation of grace is over. Those act as kind of bookends. And we've talked about the genius of God in bringing that in when he did. Well, this night far spent, day at hand issue, again, we had some principles that came out of that, which is the intelligent understanding of the dispensational timing of this dispensation of grace. And while it's postponed, Satan's night and the works of darkness that are its lifeblood, while it's coming to its fullness, is postponed, those works of darkness that are burning there, my fire's still going. It'll stop here in a moment, but the fire's still going. Those works of darkness have to be maintained because he doesn't know when this dispensation of grace is going to end. And we know he has to utilize those things in order to accomplish what he needs to accomplish to bring his finest hour into effect. And we studied those things. Those works of darkness are the lifeblood. Remember we had that core up there where you had all sin in general, and then you have this core lifeblood that gives it its power and its life. So the day of the Lord's wrath is ever at hand. Every single day you live, the day of the Lord's wrath, the day of the Lord is at hand. And therefore the principle came about of that your desire and my desire is to express my Father's, remember he worked hard on this, we just went through gaining the five core features of godly love. Now we have to understand some things about our Father's heart when it comes to his hatred, his abhorrence, his disdain for those works of darkness, and that should be our attitude. That should be part of us too, a part of our heart, should have my Father's godly hatred, abhorrence, and disdain for the works of darkness. Now the point in going back over all of that is that when it comes to this issue of walk honestly, it's not just some broad or general or poetic expression for you to conduct yourself consistently with who you are in Christ in just any old general way. In other words, somebody could just crack their Bible open, come to Romans chapter 13, read verse 13. Let us walk honestly as in the day. And there's a nice little sermon of what would Jesus do? You know, people like to wear that stuff around. WWJD. What would Jesus do? Well, that's not a general broad exhortation, walk honestly as in the day. It's rather designed to make a particular impact wherever you go with the armor of light on that you've now put on and having cast off the works of darkness. When you're told to walk honestly as in the day, that's not telling you to walk in some way that's any different from casting off the works of darkness and putting on the armor of light. Rather, it's telling you that there is something else that you are going to be doing that's directly connected with that gesture. With that gesture of casting off the works of darkness and putting on the armor of light, there's one other thing that this godly thinking is going to have us naturally do. And that other thing is wrapped up in that expression. It's the second step. Let us walk honestly as in the day. And just by that phrase, let us walk honestly, it's supposed to alert you to the fact that whatever it is you're going to be doing, let's forget about as in the day for a moment, whatever it is that you're going to be doing is going to have to do with you making a particular impact in a very particular, specific, concise, and precise operation of God. And you'd be right. That's what you're supposed to think. Furthermore, the word honestly tells you this is that this impact you're to make in this particular operation of God is directly related to the godly thinking, especially if you want to just make it concise, especially the night is far spent, the day is at hand. You know, I'm not one for tattoos, but that ought to be tattooed on your heart. It's taking that overt act, right, of casting off the works of darkness, putting on the armor of light, that signal that you send to the adversary, and doing and so on a consistent and constant basis. Your walk in all the details of your life is going to now consistently be honest, be true to who you, to your newly written, newly installed software, your newly installed godly thinking about the dispensational timing of this dispensation of grace. My fire stopped. The dispensational timing, not the fact of time past but now and to come, but the timing of this, with the night in its far spent status, with the day being at hand, with the night having to be maintained with those works of darkness all the way through this thing, with peeling back the first layer of the onion, so to speak, of being able to look into to further details of what the adversary is doing, not just running around and you're sinning, and I'm going to make you sin, and blah, blah, and he's a nutcase that doesn't know at all what in the world he's doing. You know, I'm going to make you climb walls and walk on the ceiling or what. You know, Hollywood does some crazy things. Your head spins around, you puke green peas and all kinds of things. But there's real concise understanding now of what's going on. And folks, that's huge. And that's going to be hugely important for us as we continue on throughout 1 Corinthians all the way through 2 Thessalonians. So you're going to walk true, especially to the ramifications of what it means for us to be living in a dispensation of Gentile grace, understanding its timing. That phrase, the night is far spent, the day is at hand. Simply put, the issue of walking honestly in this context is the issue of you conducting and behaving yourself in all the details of your life true to the dispensational timing of this dispensation of grace. That's what it means to walk honestly as in the day. To walk honestly in that context means to walk true, consistent, and constant to your understanding of the dispensational timing of this dispensation of grace. And if you don't know what that means, or if you can just sit here and say, that doesn't do much, then you cannot walk honestly at all. And you really shouldn't take another word in yet, but you need to go back and make sure the impact and the proper appreciation of that dispensational timing issue is understood. I think we only spent a year on it. I really went it through that fast. May have been too fast for us, but I think you're a quick learner. Well, that's step one of this third feature of our godly conduct and behavior. Let us walk honestly as in the day is the second step. As in the day. Now, I'm going to set the stage. We're going to begin looking at something on Sunday that is fascinating. As a precursor to that, let me just tell you that a lot of the things that we ascribe to God's program with Israel, especially in time past, we like to come along and say, well, God isn't working like that today. And he's not. He's not working like that. That's a true statement. But the more I learn, the more I realize he's able to accomplish much of the same thing. He's just not doing it the same way. What I mean by that is, and I'll bring this up on Sunday, there's some things that we have studied that as we've gone through the curriculum for our sonship education, we realize, okay, God is not taking his omnipotent hand and massaging the circumstances of life so that they just almost work out to good for us. I say almost because everybody comes along and says that a miracle happened when their house burned down and, you know, they were only 50% burnt in it and not 100%. It was a miracle that I lived through that. So you're telling me that God's miraculous power burnt your house down and burnt you up 50%. You know, people, they want to grab a hold of miracles, you know, but they want, you know, God is just working everything out. Well, we understand that's not what's going on. But we do understand some fascinating things about the fact that there are some things that God accomplishes along those lines. It's just he's doing it sonship style. He's doing it through you. Start thinking about that, because we're ready for another operation that our Father could do this himself, but he's not going to. He's going to have you do it. And we're going to begin learning some fascinating things about this. And I suspect this is the way it's going to be from now on. That as I continue on into level 2 and 3 and all that kind of business, as I find these things out and these operations become, they present themselves, it's going to be, my Father could do this, but he's turned the reins over to me and I get to do it. What a privilege that is. And now I can see the kind of training I'm getting for operating in the heavenly realm. When he takes the power of the creature and puts it into our hands and he says, now, I want you to put my life into effect in it. Well, anyway, those things get me excited. Walk honestly as in the day. And so we are to walk honestly, true to who we are as sons, with a proper understanding and appreciation for not only the dispensation of grace in which we live, but the dispensational timing of this dispensation of grace, and we are to do so as in the day. And I've told you, it's no surprise, I'm going to take this off for a moment. The day that we're talking about, let me back this off, is this day right out here, the Lord's Day of Wrath, the Lord's Day. The Lord's Day is not Sunday. That's the Lord's Day. You know, John didn't get taken up into heaven on Sunday. The Lord's Day. That's what John was going to see in the Revelation. But anyway, the day of the Lord, not that expression when he says, let us walk honestly as in the day, is not some euphemism or metaphor for Christians to come out of the closet. That's the bottom line of what these commentaries say when they talk about, well, just live openly as a Christian and don't put it under a bushel. Well, there's some truth to that, but that's not really what this is driving at all. The day is the day of the Lord. How do I know that? It's already been defined. And we need to be very careful here, and I'm going to have to stop on this, but if we don't, I'm going to say this as a precaution. I don't think really anybody in this room needs this, but I'm going to say it anyway. I try to hedge myself against goofballs. If we're not careful here, we can make a mistake of thinking that we're supposed to be. All right, he says, if that's true, and it is true because the way in which the word day has been used in this context up in verse 12. At the end of verse 12, at the beginning of verse 12, the night is far spent, the day is at hand. That's the day he's talking about. Now he comes to the very next verse. Let us walk honestly as in the day. I don't know how the commentaries got so far off. They didn't understand what the day was up there. But the Lord's day is what he's driving at. Now he's telling you to live honestly as in that day. Does that rub you? Is that like, you know, petting the dog backwards against the grain? Does that rub you the wrong way? I don't live out there. That's to come. What am I supposed to do? Go to Hebrews through the Revelation and start? Couldn't somebody do that? What if this was 2003, back when we first learned right division, and I was dumber than a hammer, and still am in a lot of ways, but I barely knew anything about rightly dividing. I finally figured out Paul's our apostle, and the dispensation of grace didn't start in Acts 2. But if somebody would have pinned me down and showed me that verse out of its context and said, you know, Paul tells us to walk honestly as in the day of the Lord. You know, that's where an awful lot of Christianity is walking today. That's what he says. That's why I say, if you're not careful here, you can go away thinking that you're supposed to be living and functioning as a member of the remnant of Israel, or utilizing the information contained in the books of Hebrews through the Revelation, or operating in some other manner as far as God's to-come portion of his program with Israel. But really, that shouldn't be a problem with you at all. What should arrest all that thinking? There it is, bullseye. Romans 9, 10, and 11. You went through three chapters that taught you you're not supposed to be drugged back into God's program of Israel time past or drug into it out here in the to come aspect of it. Romans 9, 10, and 11 makes it so that shouldn't be a danger at all. So why didn't God say, why didn't he simplify it? Why didn't he come along, look at your Bible, why didn't he say, let us walk honestly, not in rioting and drunkenness, not in chambering and wantonness, not in strife and anger. You stick that phrase in there, as in the day. Couldn't we have done the exact same thing with him leaving that out and saying, let us walk honestly? We've got the phrase, we've got the godly thinking, the night is far spent, the day is at hand. Why do we need that part of the exhortation? Let us walk honestly as in the day. Didn't you just confuse things or possibly cause confusion? He said, let us walk on as in the day. And the only day in this context, like I said, from verse 12, is the day of the Lord. Well, to be honest, if you don't understand the dispensational timing of this dispensation of grace, you might not make the mistake of thinking that we're supposed to be operating in God's to-come portion of His program with Israel because of Romans 9, 10, and 11. You might do that. You might be strong enough in understanding Romans 9, 10, and 11, where when you read, let us walk honestly as in the day, you're not going to make the mistake of trying to live like you're a member of the remnant of Israel. Somebody's tinkling. Okay. Did you hear? Am I hearing things, or did you hear that? This has been a weird night. The whole night's been weird. We just lost what? Could be. Let me finish my point and we'll get out of here. You could, if you had a better, good enough appreciation of Romans 9, 10, and 11, you could read, even if you didn't understand the dispensational timing of this dispensation of grace, you could read that and you're not going to get off track thinking that you're supposed to be living out there in God's to-come portion of His program with Israel. You could do that, but the truth is, you'll still be at a loss to be able to say what in the world this is talking about, and all you're going to do is end up back with the commentators saying this means to live openly as a Christian in the eyes of all men, walk honestly as in the day. In other words, you're still only going to have about 5% of what's there, even if you don't get yourself out there and make those goofy mistakes. So what we want to do is on Sunday answer the question, what is walking honestly as in the day talking about? There's a whole bunch of things that are going on, right, out in the day of the Lord. A bunch of things. Think about this between now and Sunday. Are we supposed to walk as members of the remnant of Israel? Because there's, what else is going on? Now we got people jumping up and killing bugs. It's like, are we going to have people fall out of the rafters? Just to show you something, turn over to Matthew 25. No, Matthew 6. Turn over to Matthew 6. I'm not going to make a big deal out of this, but class is over, so. But just to show you what goes on, because this does go on. A lot of Christians, to many Christians tonight, this is more real to them. What I'm about to show you is more real to them and the way they spend their time and the way they put into effect in the details of their life certain things that are supposed to be of God than you can possibly imagine. I mean, there's a huge amount of believers that this is true about. Look at chapter 6 and verse 25. Let me see if that's all I want of this. I'll pick it up at verse 24. This is Matthew chapter 6, verse 24. No man can serve two masters, for either he will hate the one and love the other, or else he will hold to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and mammon. Therefore, I say unto you, take no thought for your life, what ye shall eat or what ye shall drink, nor yet for your body, what ye shall put on. Is not the life more than meat, and the body than raiment? Behold the fowls of the air, for they sow not, neither do they reap, nor gather into barns. And yet your heavenly Father feedeth them. Are ye not much better than they? You realize that a great amount of Christianity lives and breathes those verses? Is there something Paul teaches you that is almost exactly opposite of what Christ just said? what? Yeah, basically, if you don't work, you don't eat. If you go around a day, and some do, and they can get by with it in this country, and take no thought for your life, what you shall eat or what you shall drink, you're going to starve. That's information that is pertinent for the remnant of Israel in preparation for the day of the Lord's wrath. Now, what I want you to think about is there's a whole bunch of things that are going on in the Lord's day of wrath. We have been told something that narrows that field down to one specific thing. And it's that one specific thing that he's driving at that's going to take place in the Lord's day of wrath that is pertinent for us in this dispensation of grace when it comes to walking honestly in view of the dispensational timing of this dispensation of grace and how we engage in the adversary's business and start invading that business and start casting light into that and exposing it for what it is. Paul's not trying to confuse the dispensations. He's being absolutely accurate. And there's a marvelous privilege we have for this one aspect of what the Lord's day of wrath is going to do out there that we get to do here, and it's absolutely necessary that we do it. And it's the reason why, and it'll make the connection as to why he has to reach out past the dispensation of grace into something, and for us to walk honestly as in that now in this dispensation of grace because of the operation it is of our Heavenly Father and the privilege we have to be able to put it that work with him in that operation right now today. And we're going to discover what that is on Sunday. We're going to start looking at that. But we've got to think, we've got to understand our Father and understand how what his character is like about some things that are said to him about him before we ever got here that need to be uppermost in our minds right now. And all of this, when this clicks, I'm telling you, you are not going to be the same. It is going to change you forever. Because this is coming to a head. And one of the, you have, by the time you finish Romans 13, and I'm not trying to say that it, you know me well enough. We're not done with level one yet. But I am going to tell you something. That power, that ability, and that capacity of wisdom, justice, and judgment alone, those three, let alone what adding equity to it is going to do, those are incredibly powerful skills to have. Do not think they're not. That discretion and understanding that forms that the fabric of your armor in the armor of light, that is really incredible. It'll make an angel stand up and take notice. Well, anyway. All right. Well, we'll stop right there and we'll pick this up on Sunday and we're going to carry on with some very fascinating things. So we'll stop there and we'll see you on Sunday with our heads bowed. Heavenly Father, we thank you for this opportunity of studying together your word and being able to advance in this magnificent aspect of our lives as your adopted sons and daughters. And we just pray that we continue to have your wisdom in all of these matters, that we spend the time that we need to with you and in fellowship and communion and prayer to be able to ensure that these are written upon our hearts, that they are the very fabric of what consists of the epistle of Christ being written in our heart. And we just pray that we continue by the effectual working of these things to be ever conformed into the image of your Son and edified unto godliness which is in faith. For we ask these things in the name of your Son, our Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. You are dismissed.